This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I'm Sean Tubbs. The International Relations Organization is a student-run group at the University of Virginia that puts on lectures on foreign affairs across grounds. This talk by Louis Medina is from January 31st and is entitled The Emergence of Leftist Politics in Latin America.
It is an unmistakable trend. I mean, today, arguably seven, depending on how you count, but perhaps seven governments in Latin America are headed by political parties that are clearly aligned with the left, Venezuela, in some way Argentina, Uruguay clearly, Chile, Brazil, Bolivia, the most recent addition. Who knows what might happen in Peru, but apparently a candidate that you could identify with the left, you know, is likely to win elections, although it's still behind the polls. It is likely that Mexico will elect a left-wing government in this year's election that would add 100 million citizens to the count of Latin Americans governed by the left. Yeah. At local level, it's also quite a remarkable trend. Bogota, for example, has elected a left-wing mayor recently, and this is in a country that has been, as usual in its history, the exception to this trend. If anything, Colombia's politics has drifted to the right in the last years. But still, the mayor of Bogota, a city of 6 million people, or 7 million people, depending on where you draw the borders, has elected a mayor of distinctively left-wing credentials. Mexico City, which is larger than many countries, Mexico City is larger than Chile, perhaps, okay, and it's been run by a left-wing administration for several years. So the trend is unmistakable, and so it's sort of the talk of town for several months. And, of course, the back-to-back-to-back elections of in South America recently have got everybody thinking about it. And I guess that as commentators and observers try to make sense of that, of this trend, they've reached out to a very familiar metaphor, which is the one of the pendulum. And so if you run into any newspaper piece these days about South America or Latin America in general, you will see that people are saying, well, yeah, apparently the pendulum is swinging back to the left in Latin America and so on and so forth. I think that metaphor is misleading, and a lot of my talk here will be devoted to show why it's wrong and why it matters that it is wrong. What's the problem with that metaphor being wrong? And I think it is wrong for several reasons. One of them is, as one of my favorite authors in sociology, especially with a close connection to Latin America, Albert Hirschman, once said, you know, the metaphor of the pendulum, which is a very common metaphor when we talk about politics, portrays things as very mechanic, as there is some fixed constraints and some fixed determinants about political processes that lead them to move one direction or another at a very clear pace and within certain constraints and so on. That forgets the fact that politics is never like that. Politics has a lot of complications, and there are a lot of room for individual and social agency that might transform this dynamic. And Latin America is no exception, and we'll see precisely how far off mark the metaphor of the pendulum is on that count in Latin America. On the other hand, to an untrained reader, somebody not familiar with Latin America, if you happen upon a journalistic piece talking about the pendulum swinging back to the left in Latin America, you would be excused for believing that at some point in the not-so-distant past, Latin America was actually governed by the left. Okay. So the pendulum was swinging back. It swung to the right for a while, and now it's swinging back to the left. No. That's not true. The left has ruled rarely throughout Latin America's history in the 20th century. Whenever it has done so, it has been, for the most part, ephemeral, intermittent, and tumultuous. For the most part, the majority of the left-wing governments in Latin America have been the result of a coup, or have been put down by a coup, or both. It is quite the rare instance of Latin America voting for left-wing administrations. So this idea that at some point in the past, Latin America was ruled by the left is wrong. If anything, what we've seen is people talk about the neoliberal reforms of the 1990s. I don't like the term neoliberal, but I'm going to use it given that it's so common. I cannot help it. People talk about neoliberal reforms as sort of the moment when the pendulum swung to the right. Okay? But where was the pendulum before 1990 in Latin America? And it was not on the left. Latin America in the 1980s was not ruled by left-wing parties. It was ruled by, for the most part, in most countries, by traditional parties that were not perceived by, as leftists by anybody. Not by leftists, not by rightists. Nobody thought of Latin America as a region ruled by the left in the 1980s or even in the 1970s. If you want to think about the heyday of left-of-center politics in Latin America, maybe you will have to go back as far back as the 60s, when under the impetus of the Alliance for Progress, you could argue that some of the points of the traditional left in Latin America were on the table and that conceivably the left of center was calling the shots in politics. But from the 1960s on, it has been a constant drift toward each time more and more conservative. I mean, of course, the term is quite misleading as well, but toward the right, so to speak. At different speeds, sometimes accelerating, sometimes halting. But from the 1970s, 75 perhaps, on, Latin America has done nothing but moving right. If seen from the left, if this is the pendulum, this is a pendulum swinging, the Titanic was a scuba diving meet. This is not a pendulum swing. Okay. This is basically a constant drift that was halted. Why was it halted now? It's not because there is any inherent law of nature about politics drifting back from one extreme to the other. It was halted now in Latin America as a result of the outcomes, the economic outcomes of Latin America in the 1990s. So it is not that it was foreordained. It is not the result of any law of nature. It's the result of concrete decisions, concrete outcomes, and concrete politics, politicking, and strategizing of everybody in Latin America. So it is misleading to talk about the pendulum in that sense. The other sense in which it is misleading to talk about a pendulum is that a pendulum swings at regular intervals within a constrained space, and so on. In Latin America, during this, like I said, this 30-year-long drift toward the right, what we have seen is a constant displacement of the center of gravity. So ideas that in the 1990s are considered mainstream and normal, acceptable notions in politics were considered beyond the pale in the 1970s, in the 1980s. Suggestions, proposals for privatizing social services, for privatizing water, and so on and so forth, would have been unthinkable, unimaginable in the 1970s. Now they are in the agenda. So nowadays what people call left-wing agendas in Latin America used to be called centrist in the 1960s and in the 1970s. So this pendulum has been drifting to places where it had never been to the 20th century, perhaps ever since the 1930s, since the breakdown of the liberal order of the 1920s. Latin America had never been so far to the right. I mean, once again, the metaphors might mask a lot of subtleties, but I'm going to use them anymore anyway. Latin America had never been so far to the right as it was during the 1990s in that sense. So once again, there's no pendulum swing. We're talking about a process that unfolded through 30 years. Basically, there's a whole generation of Latin Americans that grew up without any experience of the left holding any power. any political power, or the left being able to bring stuff to the table, yeah, in terms of economic negotiations and things like that. Okay. So a whole generation, okay, older than you, that grew up in a region where the dominant issues, the dominant proposals, the dominant policies were dictated by, without any input or any substantial input from the left. It's interesting, but when I tried to flash back to 1965 as the heyday of center, left of center politics in Latin America, back then, what we call the right in Latin America had a substantial input in policy. Input that the left has not had during the 70s, 80s, or 90s. A lot of the ideas of the Alliance for Progress, of the import substitution, of economic reforms of the time, were put in motion giving ample veto powers to members of the conservative political camp. Notably in matters of land reform, for example. And land reform was forestalled in several countries of Latin America precisely as a result of the veto powers granted to the conservative elements. We don't see that now. The left has not exerted any veto power and has not been able to stop almost any single idea in Latin America, with the exception, perhaps, of recently the privatization of water in Bolivia that, once again, I wanted to think it is a bit, I mean, at least by the standards of 1980s, that was quite a daring proposition. So look how long it took for the left to finally being able to veto something in Latin American politics. So I think that it is more, if we're thinking about metaphors to conceptualize this drift toward the left, I think we have to, maybe there are other metaphors that might be more useful. And I think that maybe it is useful to think of the current left as we evaluate what it means, its emergence in Latin American politics and its prospects for the long run. It might be useful to think of the left as a generation of survivors. Actually, that's another point in which the metaphor of the pendulum is misleading. It suggests that politics always goes back to where it was. It doesn't in this case. The left in Latin America is now different from the left of 30 or 40 years ago. That left of 40 years ago is gone. Okay? And it has, the fact of its demise has a lot of teachings, but a lot of warnings also for the current left in Latin America. We're talking about a generation of survivors. It's people that spent 30 years in the wilderness, okay, are now finding themselves elected, sometimes without beyond their wildest dreams. Okay. So what does that mean? And what can we expect from that? As I was thinking, preparing for these remarks, survivors are a very interesting species in general. They have incredible skills, being able to survive under harsh conditions. Okay? But it makes you wonder if those skills are the ones that will carry you in the long run. Life is not just about surviving, it is about thriving. Okay? Anybody who has watched TV, reality TV recently knows that survivors can feed on gross box. Can they cook? They can light fires. Can they run a heating system? We don't know. It remains to be seen if this left camp of survivors is able to cook and is able to run heating systems. And I think that, and I want to poke some holes on that. I mean, not because it's on a skeptical note. Not because I think I'm right, but it's quite the opposite. I'm so awful at making predictions that I've decided that the best I can do is to predict stuff that I don't like in the hope that it won't happen. Okay? Since I've been usually so wrong in my predictions that I think it might be good for me to try to predict that stuff will not work out well. And I mean, it might actually do work out fine. So let me sound some skeptical notes about the current plight of the left Latin America, the current emergence of the left in Latin America. In terms of, I mean, these survivors, how did they get here? How did they survive? And I think that looking at their survival skills, you understand why that might be a problem in the future when it comes to thriving. Not just thinking about surviving, but thriving. Are those skills that allow the left in Latin America to make it to the 21st century the ones that it needs to run the continent in the 21st century? We'll see. How did it survive? Well, people survive under duress, for the most part, by reacting instead of, by choosing the strategies of adaptation to whatever life throws at you. The question is a political force that is always reacting exactly what you need? Maybe a political force, if it wants to run a country, and if it wants to make a lasting impact on the makeup of a country, should take the initiative instead of just reacting to conditions, instead of just adapting. Other things that the left has done to survive: deny its past. It's obvious. Yeah. You survive under duress by denying your past, no? By throwing your ID away. That's fairly typical. We would all do that in several occasions. Yeah. It's a left that doesn't know its past, equipped to play a role in the future of the continent. I don't know. How do these two things play out the way I see them now in Latin America? First of all, let's start with the second one, the notion of forgetting the past, the notion of throwing away your ID. Okay. In many cases, it was literal. Okay. The Latin American left has a lot to repent from, has a lot to atone for. Okay. The history of the left in Latin America is quite spotty, and it is full of dark passages. The 1960s and 70s, the Latin American left, and some of it came across as really a bunch of trigger-happy radicalized youth that were willing to destabilize even progressive regimes. For example, the case of Allende might be the most dramatic one. Regime with impeccable socialist credentials and bona fides, and it was denounced by people like you, students in public institutions of higher education, that thought that it was not radical enough. There was no compromise that would satisfy them. They wanted everything now. That was a mistake that the Latin American left did, especially, I'm sorry, I'm older than you, especially the most impatient youth members of the Latin American left. Youth is impatient. That's typical. Okay. And maybe it was. I mean, of course, any political movement needs youth elements. That's crucial. Yeah. It's just that this is, we don't let you drive. No, we shouldn't let you run politics. Okay. That's it's okay to have your input, but I don't think that youth elements should dictate the pace of reforms in that way. And maybe the Latin American left was sometimes way too willing to give the car keys to the youth, who wanted no part of compromise, for whom anything that was not socialism in one day in one country would be enough. Okay. That's a mistake. That threw the Latin American left elements of the Latin American left ended up embracing violence and terrorism in ways that are unacceptable. As a result of that, a lot of suffering was inflicted upon Latin American societies. And that's something that Latin American left has to learn from. And it has learned to some extent. The Latin American left of today is not violent. It accepts the notions of reform. It accepts the notions of gradualism and so on and so forth. That's healthy. Now you wonder, how long should the atonement go? Yeah. Is it fair to have the Latin American left still to this day haunted by its mistakes? Once again, they were not small mistakes, but I think that It is fair to say that Latin American left has already paid dearly for those mistakes. And actually, at the risk of being a bit fuzzy-willy, I would say that a lot of that price was paid. And this is something I want kids your age to remember. A lot of that price was paid with the blood of some of the brightest, best, most courageous, and most valiant members that Latin American youth has ever produced. Great human beings in Latin America of your age were fed to the killing machines of the military regimes because they were leftists. So, and I think that the left in Latin America cannot forget that and should not forget that. It has, for all its mistakes, it has some stuff to be proud of. It produced people of incredible courage and integrity, and it should be proud of that. It should not make apologies for that. It should make apologies for its mistakes. It should make apologies for its willingness to use violence. It should make apologies. It should learn from having embraced central planning, which we now know was a harebrained economic scheme. But it was not the only one in Latin America who embraced violence, terrorism, and harebrained economic schemes. The left had no monopoly on bad economics and temperamental politics in the region. It's not the only one. It's the one that has paid more dearly for it, but it's not the only one. So much for getting your ID, for throwing your ID. I think that the Latin American left needs to fetch back its ID. And what about adapting? What about reacting? I think that that's a losing recipe. And how has the Latin American left become reactive? Always playing second fiddle. Basically, what it has done is it has transmogrified itself as the party of the poor. And it tried to portray itself as, you know, we are the party that has a bleeding heart as opposed to the cold-hearted right. That is a falsity, historically. The right has not been always cold-hearted. The Latin American right, just like the right anywhere else, has had a lot of in its platform, in its agenda, a lot of points aimed at gaining legitimacy with the poor. The right has been in Latin America champions of some of the poor, some of the time, and quite substantially at times. Even the Pinochet regime, for example, that epitome of the right-wing government in Latin America, funneled a lot of social spending in some of the poorest segments in Chilean society and turned them into die-hard Pinochetistas for quite a while. So the Latin American left should not make the mistake of forgetting that its rival also cares for the poor. It is just foolish to say that, oh, we are the party that cares for the poor. Especially in the region where the right, where the Catholic doctrine, for example, where the conservative economic theories and so on, have provided for the poor for decades. And where the peasantry has been conservative precisely because it has seen how the right cares for its interests for decades. So if that's not what the left should do, what should it do? In the face, once again, of a region that has incredible levels of poverty and inequality. I think the first thing it should not frame the debate as either you are pro-poor or against poor or against the poor. The debate is not that. The debate is, what exactly do we think that poverty is? What are the causes of poverty? Are we the party that brings a stretcher in the middle of a shooting out? Or are we the party that will try to put down the shoot down? Are we the party that will tend to the wounded? Or are we the party that will try to stop the wounding? That is the question. Saying that, oh, we are the party that will spend in education and health. That's fine. That's laudable. You win elections with that. That's perfect. I entirely understand why Latin American left has been doing that. It's a perfect formula for winning elections, and I see nothing wrong with that. But you cannot stop there. You cannot let yourself, if you are a leftist in Latin America, you cannot let yourself be painted as just a party of education and healthcare. You have to be bold and say, we are also the party of employment, we are also the party of growth, we are also the party of economic stability, we are the party that wants not just to tend to the wounded, but once again to stop the shootout. Latin America has been navigating incredibly uncertain times, economically speaking, as it competes with Asia, as it competes with other countries, with other regions of the world. And that has created huge instability. That has created a tremendous decade and a half long shootout for many people in Latin America. The left, if it wants to be a key role player in the future, has to come up with a formula of how to stop the shootout, not just bring stretchers. That cannot be the way the left defines itself. So, how to do it? Well, we know some things that don't work. Central planning doesn't work. Extreme protectionism doesn't work. I think the Latin American left has to come to terms with trade. I think that free trade, maybe it's too much. Maybe I've been brainwashed as an economist, but I believe in free trade. And I think that free trade has good things. But the question is how to distribute the gains of free trade. And that's where the Latin American left has to be creative. And I think that I would suggest that the Latin American left can do worse than taking a page from the American right. I think that the American right is exemplar these days on how to run politics. How to think long run at the same time win in the short run, which is floating ideas, being electorally good, being adept at winning elections. Nothing substitutes for winning elections. That feeling of winning elections is just quite a rush. So try to win elections. It's good. If that is moving center, do it. That's okay. But also develop a long-run strategy. Allow a wing of the movement to dream, to be bold, to put stuff out there on the table, even if it is not viable right now. Just float the ideas. That's what the American right has been doing for 20 years. It's been floating ideas that were in the 1980s considered as entirely beyond the pale, entirely outrageous. Well, now they are mainstream. Now they are acceptable. Now they are policy. Why shouldn't the Latin American left do that? Put it on the table out there. Notions, for example, of economic stability, of universal income, of universal protection, not just of targeting social spending to tend for the wounded. But make it clear that the discourse, the long-run discourse of the left, is one of inclusion. It's one of prosperity for all, even if it means a slower growth, even if it means a little bit less of prosperity, even if it means some capital flight. And then the Latin American left can regain a role in the future. And for that, that's another lesson from the American right. Nothing works as the grassroots in that sense. Nothing works as really being out there. There is one, in America you see these bumper stickers, which I think they're funny, but they're no longer something that's funny for me, which are those, has it been 4 years now? That's a recipe for disaster. If you're still wondering, has it been 4 years already? You're losing. Politics is not a game to be played every 4 years. Politics is a game that it has to be played every day. And the Latin American left has to do that. And one way to notice that, to notice how much that is missed, is the Latin American left, and I'll try to close with this, Latin American left is now goes to great pains to call itself responsible. Present itself as we are not those irresponsible, we are the responsible left. It is funny how nobody no longer asks from the right if it is responsible. There was a time in Latin America where you could be an irresponsible rightist. You could go so far to the right that if your ideas were put in practice, the whole country would go up in flames. There was such a time in Latin America. There was such a time in Latin America where you could not go out and say, you know what, I'm going to lower wages so that we can compete with the Chinese. It was not possible in the 1960s. The whole country would go up in flames. That was considered irresponsible at that time. Now, it's not irresponsible. No candidate in Latin America has a scared for an investment by talking about privatizations, liquidation of all social services, anything like that. If you do that in Latin America, you are popular and you are fed to the Davos. You are considered by the Wall Street Journal as the new big thing in Latin America. That's perfectly okay in Latin America. Why is that? Why is that? Well, because, going back to the metaphor of the pendulum, this is not a pendulum. This is a mechanism where all the brakes broke down, just like my car happened to broke down a few minutes ago. Okay? It has no brakes anymore. And now the Latin American drift toward the right reminds me what some economist said about the Chinese economy several decades ago, and I'm still crossing my fingers that he's wrong. He said, it looks like a truck without brakes. The only way to stop it is crashing it. The only thing that has stopped the drift to the right was the crashing. And that's unhealthy. It's not healthy even for the right. It's not healthy to have a drift, a political drift, going unchecked until finally the bitter consequences are upon us. That should not have happened, and we should not let that happen in the future. In that sense, the Latin American left has to, once again, be able to exert its role as checking, as reminding Latin American politics that, yes, there is such a thing as an irresponsible right, as a socially irresponsible right, and that may actually, I'm not saying that all the ideas from the right are wrong. That's not the case. Okay? But I'm just saying that the Latin American left should be able to say, look, you can't generate too much exclusion. You can't generate too much inequality. Okay? And that is not a situation our country should be in. Okay? So that's more or less for the time being. I have some other stuff to say, but I want to open it for questions and answers. Thank you.
You were talking about how the Leninist Party's basically have to restructure itself in order to make apologies for the past. So for example, in Ambrosio and in Peru, in the 1985-90, we had a leftist government under which terrorism increased and inflation increased like 1,000%. And unfortunately, I was young, and so was a big youth group, and so they didn't live through that. And so it's like they're trying to just grow up and not know how bad the country was there. And then my second point was relating to the whole how the left groups have to be very strong economically and present plans for the future. For example, right now, there's this whole notion that the free trade agreements that a lot of the countries are signing with the U.S. and other countries are actually going to be bad for the countries. I know they have both pros and cons, but at the same time, you will create a lot of jobs. You might hinder some of the internal productions, but at the same time, how can the left just say, this is wrong, we're not actually trying to find a balance for their future economic progress?
Yeah, of course, you're talking about, you brought up one of the most famous examples, which is the train wreck that was Alan Garcia's administration in Peru. Let's face it, it is one left-wing experiment that did not work. For those of you who don't know, okay, it was basically as close as Latin American left has come to populism after the 1970s. Okay, and badly overplayed its hand trying to nationalize banks. Okay. There was no reason for that, actually, because the Peruvian banking sector was already a lot of it in the hands of the state. So it was just a huge fight over a couple of banks, completely uncalled for. And it, of course, unraveled the whole political and economic situation, and the result was a disaster, runaway inflation, and so on. I'm the last one to defend Alan Garcia's record in power. Okay? And like I said, the left has the few occasions when it has ruled a country, it doesn't have a famous story, okay? And that's something that the left has to get good at, okay? What I'm trying to say is the way to get good at is not by saying, okay, we are going to do the same things as the right, only better. That's not going to work. Okay? It's just not credible. Okay? You cannot remain forever saying, oh, we're going to do everything that the right offers to you, only that we're a bit cleaner than the right. Okay? Only that we're a bit nicer. Okay? That we don't wear ties. Okay? That's not a winning recipe. Okay? So you bring up the example of the free trade agreements. Free trade is certainly a terrible difficulty for anybody, left and right, in Latin America. Okay? Free trade has the potential to lift people out of poverty. We've seen that in Asia at amazing speed, thanks to trade, thanks to the opening of markets and so on. Millions, tens of millions of people in Asia have gone from abject misery to okay standard of living in less than a generation. I don't think we've ever seen that in Latin America. So free trade has great potential. The Latin American left should embrace free trade. Of course, knowing that free trade by itself is not the panacea, and that sometimes there are tough choices to be made, and free trade, although as a principle, is a force for the good, there might be occasions where you want to rein in on that for some things. There is a problem in Latin America at this point. For a lot of the 20th century, it has developed, has tried to develop an industry, inefficient, you might say. But under the shadow of that industry, we've had the growth of a working class, of an urban working class, that now is asked to take huge pay cuts to compete with the Asian cheap labor. That's politically suicidal, okay? Or that's politically irresponsible anyway. Okay? Of course, free trade means, I mean, the problem with Latin America is we don't have cheap labor, we don't have cheap capital. We are not abundant in either of those two things. Okay? Well, we are abundant in them compared to some countries, not to others. Okay? We have a lot of labor when compared to the U.S., not when compared to India. We have a lot of capital when compared to Vietnam, not when compared to the U.S. So what are you going to trade on? What is our comparative advantage? We have to find one. Latin America needs to get itself together in terms of research, development, acquiring knowledge, so on. Finding what exactly it is good at, and handling the transition in a responsible way. I don't have any particular opinions about the free trade agreement with the U.S. in general. I think Colombia right now is negotiating one. It seems to be that Colombia is going to lose just about every minor battle on that free trade agreement. But in the end, it's not going to matter much, really, because Colombia has already quite open to trade. Right? But as a general principle, I think that the challenge for Latin American left in the future is to be able to combine free trade with a responsible handling of the traumatisms that it implies. Right? It cannot just walk away from trade, but it cannot swallow it hook, line, and sinker. It has to develop a critical assessment of trade and being able to come up with proposals of how to handle that.
We have time for just one more question.
You mentioned the left in the past as a completely different identity from the left today, and I'm wondering, did that difference permeate to the different countries that you're referring to? Why would you want the Latin American left as opposed to distinguish the Bolivian left is necessarily the same as the Peruvian left?
Well, that's the only excuse for that is that they asked me to talk about the Latin American left. Of course you should make distinctions. Of course. But there are some similarities. The Jacobinism of the 60s was quite common. I mean, this trigger happiness was common throughout all the region. Okay? This willingness of the radicalized youth to take up arms against whatever regime was not immediately constructing socialism. No. That was quite common. No, that's something that has to be overcome. Then, we have time for a question. Okay, you handle it.
Would you suggest that countries maybe, as far as dealing with capital flight, maybe choose a model more like sort of creative ways Chile has chosen to deal with capital flight? Would that be something that could work for other countries?
Yeah. Absolutely. That was the point I was trying to make. I think that Latin America cannot, I mean, it just can't go on that capital flight exerts veto power over Latin American politics. It's just not democratic. Yeah. It is politically unacceptable. Yeah. That millions of people in Latin America have to live under the threat of being thrown into poverty if they happen to vote for the wrong guys. Yeah. Because some people that they've never known will take the billions of dollars with a mouse click. That just can't happen. I think that Latin America needs to swallow the pill. Yeah. Sorry, I got my metaphor wrong. It needs to bite the bullet and say, we're going to... If that takes cut a little bit on capital mobility, so be it. And sometimes there's some capital that we might have to say good riddance. Okay? But we are not going to be standing just here hostage to capital flight. Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course you don't want total capital flight. Of course Latin America is capital starved. It needs capital. It needs foreign investment. I'm all for foreign investment. But how much do we have to kowtow for foreign investment? It's okay, foreign investment has been a force for the good in Latin America in the past years. But why giving it absolute veto power over everything? That can't be. The left cannot play that game. It has to. If it takes capital controls, say it. And say, look, we will grow slower pace, perhaps. We will not look that good in Davos. Okay? They won't like us there. Okay? But if that's what it takes to regain democratic governance so that we can actually decide what we want to do, so be it. Okay. The left should do that.
Thank you very much.
Okay.